Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Love Rules. Today, I want to talk a little bit about the house that Jesus builds. And my text is 1 Peter, the second chapter, the 2nd through 10th verses. And I'm just going to read a couple at the very beginning of this scripture. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ. The image of stones is a powerful one in this letter, written to those first century followers of Christ scattered beyond Jerusalem who are now suffering persecution and feeling abandoned. Peter, the disciple Jesus named the rock of his church, offers comfort and hope, urging these believers to remain loyal despite what they're going through. This is Peter's pep talk. He's pulled out all the Hebrew scripture stops, connecting the past to the present, admonishing followers of Christ to keep the faith. He goes to the Psalms to remind them that they have already tasted God's goodness. You've already discovered some wonderful things. You're just getting started. He uses the book of Hosea to proclaim believers have been made a people of no people. That would really have struck a chord because these people, now living in strange new places, have lost their cultural identity. Peter says your spiritual identity is what makes you important. He uses Moses' words to the Israelites, affirming to them they're holy. You're special and chosen, he says. Don't forget that. Peter is using the powerful images from the Hebrew Bible to inspire these Christians to keep the faith. You see, biblical Christians knew all the metaphors that he uses because they've heard them from the rabbis. The stones probably have the greatest impact, though. That's why Peter tells them, you are like living stones being built into a spiritual house. Now remember, Peter is the disciple that Jesus named the rock. So Jesus was telling Peter, you know the truth, Peter. You're on solid spiritual footing. You're suitable for laying down the foundation of my church. You will be among the first of those called out to do my work. The stone metaphor is used over and over again in the Bible. You remember Jacob used a stone for a pillow on his journey away from home. The Israelites carried stones from the Jordan River to the Promised Land. Joshua preached the stone would witness against the people if they were untrue to God. Everybody knows what stones mean. If you've been to the Middle East, you know that this part is a really stony region. There are those limestone quarries all around. There's a tourist attraction in Jerusalem called the Foundation Stone. This stone represents strength and immovability, and according to ancient tradition, this is where the world actually began. Daniel wrote that God's kingdom is a stone cut without hands. God himself is the rock. Then there's a little something about this cornerstone that they talk about in this text. The cornerstone means what the name implies. It's the result of meticulous measurement in the house building. It has an exact 90-degree angle. The cornerstone is the basis for the construction of the whole building. Choosing the right corner is basic, not only to the look of the building, but the stability, the longevity. So the message that Peter preaches, the same message that I preach, is that Jesus has to be our cornerstone. Jesus has to be our foundation. Jesus has to be the basis for all we are and all that we do as people of faith. The message for the reader, the message for you as believers, you are living stones. Think about the permanence and the strength and the power that Jesus is giving to you. The text, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus, the living stone, and as a living stone yourself, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. Now, this is the part I want you to listen closely to. This is the crux of the matter. In recent years, the world has been taking stunning and painful blows, and the whole point of terrorism is to instill fear. The collateral damage is a sense of uncertainty, suspicion, and mistrust. Who likes to fly these days? We get on planes and we're all tense. It's a time when people are desperately seeking something solid. That's why Peter's message is so important to us. The message is not go build a spiritual house. The message is let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. This is what we forget. We are the house that Jesus is building. I'm not building it. You're not building it. If we were given the job of building a spiritual house, well, we'd probably be focused on that capital campaign or that new wing for the church, or our concerns might focus on who's in and who's out, or how it's run. Peter, though, is speaking God's truth. You see, that's different. Peter says, we're not building this. God is building this in you through Jesus Christ. The only thing we need to be concerned about is whether we are allowing ourselves to be molded and melded into this spiritual house. The only way that happens is by the presence of the Holy Spirit. In education, there is this philosophy that we have to give students permission to be successful, to achieve. You have to unlock this hidden reality masked over by the distortions that they've heard and believe. You want a child to mature knowing she has everything it takes to be successful. Well, that is exactly what Peter is saying here. He's reminding believers that we can grow up. We are growing up. We already have a relationship with God. We already have tasted that the Lord is good. Now we need constant filling of pure spiritual milk so that we can continue to grow. And the substance of this spiritual milk, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the living power of God. He convicts us of our sinfulness and convinces us of God's love and forgiveness and our utter dependence on God for mercy and grace. The Holy Spirit is our guide, our comforter, our teacher. He's indwelt. He's a gift in you from the moment you believe, but you must allow His presence to permeate you. How? By confessing, by desiring Him, by knowing the limits of your own abilities, by surrendering to God. Here's how Peter teaches it. Prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus is revealed. And do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. You see, that's what it means to continue to grow in God. We are not what we used to be. Now we know we still got ways to go. We're not as good as we could be, but we're not where we used to be. That means we don't want to act like we used to act. We don't want to say what we used to say. And that's constantly something that we can work on. To be filled with the Spirit is to have our thinking about life or people or circumstances or our conditions, to have everything as well as our behavior controlled, permeated, and affected by the indwelling of God. You know, I talk about the Holy Spirit a lot because as I grow in my faith, I realize it's not what I do. It's what God does in me. And if I, for one instant, think that anything good or anything wonderful is just my personality, it's just my power or my might, then I'm kind of losing myself. I'm disconnecting from God. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And not just on Sunday mornings. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit when we get up in the morning. That's why we should pray and have a time of devotion. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit as we walk around in the city, or do our laundry, or go shopping, or at work. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit because that's what keeps us going. That's what keeps us spiritually alive. That's what keeps us connected to God. That's what keeps this house on solid foundation. That's what keeps this house as a solid structure. It's our relationship with Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do this on your own. I can't do this on my own. God set it up so we didn't have to. What a wonderful thought. That means we are never alone and we are never without access to power, to love, to mercy and grace. My prayer for you this day is that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit as you grow in your relationship with Christ, because you and I are the house that Jesus is building. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116. Love will reign.